Sherry, do not leave. Sherry, Sherry, Sherry. Come here, Sherry. Come on. I just want you to understand something.
Yes.
We all love you.
Yes.
Even though you are monthly challenged. Do you realize that May is the shortest month of the year?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Oh, the way it's spelled.
Ah.
Oh.
So you got to think about the good thing. Sherry, do you realize that we get to celebrate you during the month of May? As well as every other mother in this room?
Yeah.
If it weren't for May, there'd be no Mother's Day. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And great people, marvelous, wonderful, outstanding people were born in the month of May.
By chance, is it your birthday in May?
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry.
39 again this year, right?
Oh, no. I'm going to be 60. I'm proud of it. Pick on my month. It is good to be here. And, you know, I love the fact that we can do that kind of thing in this church. That we can just laugh and enjoy fellowship and enjoy company. I've been in churches where that's just kind of would not be accepted, but I love that part of our family. I am about to read some of probably the most beautiful words ever written. They're words that are often misunderstood, and most of the time when people look at this passage of Scripture, they really don't realize what the Scripture is saying. Listen as I read. It begins Matthew 5, beginning with verse 3. I'm sorry, beginning with verse 1, actually. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." I love that passage. I'll be honest, I have taught and preached on that passage before. It's been a while since I've done it. But over the next several weeks, we're going to go and we're going to study this passage of Scripture. It's called the Beatitudes. And we're going to look at it. And Jesus felt like it was important for the disciples to understand these things that he's sharing. And over the centuries, folks, that hasn't changed. It's still important for us to understand. Christ's promises are given here of coming blessings. The word beatitude simply means blessed sayings. And these are blessed of God as they're given to us. I'm having problems today. Give me a second, will you? Sometimes this fits just perfect and sometimes it falls off my ear. Years ago, Just a difference in things. Years ago, how many remember maybe when you were growing up and somebody talked about the Beatitudes, they talked about the Blesseds? You know, the Blesseds. We're going to study the Blesseds. But people don't talk that way today. I don't hear a whole lot of people do the Blesseds, but I hear blessed, which is really the same thing. Jesus had been traveling through Galilee. He had been teaching. He had been performing many, many miracles, and crowds were gathering around him. Crowds were coming together, and they'd heard what he had done. They'd heard who he was, and they were beginning to follow him. And so Jesus leads them up a mountain. Now, when it talks about his disciples, sometimes we get stuck in this thing of thinking, oh, the 12. No, the 12 were apostles. There's a difference. Christ had a multitude of people who followed him called his disciples. The disciples are simply one who follows. We are disciples of Christ because we believe in Jesus, we follow Jesus, we love Jesus. He is the one that leads the way for us. And so the disciples go up with him or his followers, and he leads them up a mountain, and he sits down. And he shares these teachings with them. And what he taught was a solid guide for their life, and it is a guide for us today. And so as we started, we picked up in verse 3, and that's kind of where I'm going to be focused this morning. But if you can let your mind go there this morning, would you just take a journey with Christ? Would you walk up that mountainside? Actually, the mountain, I've been there, it's not much of a mountain. We might just call it a big hill. But would you walk up that with Christ? And then sit down and have your eyes focused on him, knowing that the words he is about to share are very profound, knowing that this is Jesus and you've seen what he can do. Walk up the mountain with him and sit down and listen as he begins to speak. And as he does, realize that he is speaking directly to you. The first one we're going to look at, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He talks about the blessing and he talks about the reward. The poor in spirit, defined really as nothing more than beggars in God's soup kitchen. These are those who have been broken before God. They've been on the mountain of life and they've fallen off. Anybody ever been there? You've climbed the mountain, you've been to the top, and you've seen what the world has, and you've looked around and thought how great it was, but it didn't take long. You fell off of that mountain and you realized that there's something inside of me that is empty. There's something inside of me that is missing. There's something inside of me that is not complete. There's something, and I don't know what it is, but I'm no longer up here on the mountain. I've fallen off the side. They're the ones who have been full of the world and had everything that the world had to offer and lost it all. And they find themselves broken in spirit and empty inside. There was once a man, not that many years ago actually, he had everything. He had all the money a person could hope to have. Money was not an issue. Money was not a problem. He was just as rich could be, and was in the top 10 as far as the richest people in the world. He had power. He could pick up the phone and call the White House and the president would answer. Lots of power. Lots of fame, and the things that he had done, people knew he had done. He spent his entire life building an empire. Folks, He had it all. All that the world could offer. Yet you know what? He was empty inside. There was a darkness inside that caused him to become a great recluse. He thought he had everything, but yet inside there was nothing. And this man built a home. He became a prison in his home, and he locked himself in his home, and he was so afraid of germs and bugs and paranoia about getting sick and fevers that he wouldn't have visitors or guests. A man by the name of Howard Hughes died a very miserable hermit, locked away in a private prison, a home that he'd built for himself. He missed it all. He had everything the world could give him, but inside, he was empty. Who are the poor in spirit? Jesus addressed a young man. And this young man came to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to gain eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter eternal life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the young man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." This very wealthy young man answered quite quickly, "Well, all of these I've done. All of these I've kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they asked, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The young man that came to Jesus, he had it all. He had it all as far as the world was concerned. He had the nicest clothes. He had money. He could buy anything he wanted. He had fame. People knew him. He had power. He had many people under him that he was in charge of. He probably had a Mercedes chariot. He just had everything. You know what else he had? He had the attitude that went with it. He had the attitude that went with it. The attitude that said, "I am better than everybody else. I am greater than everybody else. Look at me and look at what I have." And he comes to Jesus and he gets to thinking about eternal life and maybe there's something more. And after all, I'm who I am. So Jesus is going to look at me and say, "Wow, you're a super great guy. You got heaven on, and that's your future." Jesus was always going to tell the truth. This young man was full of energy and laughed at death. He had all of the answers except one. And until this day, life was a breeze for him. Or was it? Read this into the story. if life was so great for this young man, why did he come to Jesus? If life was so great for this young man, why did he ask, what else do I need? Perhaps the young man was struggling inside with who he was and maybe what was missing in his life. He was seeking something more than everything the world told him he should have. Out of his arrogance when he comes to Jesus, though, he gets right to the point. And he asks him about what's good, and Jesus says, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good, and if you want to enter life, obey the commandments. And then the young man, I get a kick out of him because he's so arrogant and so kind of pious. So he inquired, which ones? Jesus said, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. The young man began to think and to look at these things, and he thought about, well, let's see, murder, 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 murder. Yep, I'm good. I haven't murdered anybody. I'm in pretty good shape there. Adultery. Can you define that a little more? Adultery. You know what? I don't think that's a problem either. I'm good. I've never stolen anything because I don't believe in stealing. And why would I steal anything? I can buy anything I want. So why would I steal? False testimony, huh? No. I'm a very upright person and an honest man, and I've never told a lie. Honor father and mother. Yeah, you know, I think I've got that covered. I've honored my father and mother and done well by them. You say, love my neighbor as myself. Well, I think I do. Well, no, of course I do. As a matter of fact, we even have them come over once in a while during holiday time. You know, Jesus, I'm actually a pretty good guy after all. I've met all of these requirements. Is there anything else for me to have and to inherit what you're talking about, this kingdom of God? See, this young man really missed the point of what Christ was saying. And finally, Jesus hit him right in the place where it got real. And this is where he'll hit you sometimes too. He knows, God knows in your life that one area, that one thing that you've held back from him. He knows that one thing that keeps you from being complete and whole in him as he wants you to be. He knows that one thing, and for some it may be two or three things that you say, God, I'll give you everything else, but I'm holding on to this. And Jesus recognized this in this young man. So Jesus hit him at a spot where it got real. He said, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor. Then come follow me. See, Jesus knew that this young man actually praised his possessions and desired his possessions more than he desired God. He knew that this young man worshiped money. And that was the most important thing to him. And Jesus wanted him to understand that there can be nothing before him. Folks, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with having money. The Bible doesn't tell us there's anything wrong with that. It does tell us that the love of money is wrong. It tells us that we're not to worship it more than worship God. And for a lot of people, that's what happens. In the case of this young man, it just so happened that that was his hang-up. Jesus wasn't concerned that he was rich. That didn't really bother him. But he was concerned with the fact that the young man worshiped his money more than anything else. More than anything else. A question this morning that I ask you. How are we like this young man? How are we like this young man? We go through life and we put Christ on the back burner. We take care of ourselves and we do the things we want to do. And when we need him, we call on Christ. Same thing the young man had done. He's a convenience that we call on in the time of need. We put other things ahead of him, money, fame, home, friends. You think of the things that you do when there's other things you could be doing for God. Anything that you put before God is an idol. Anything that you worship before him is an idol. And you may not think you have any. But if Jesus were to stand in front of you, and if he were to get real with you, what would he tell you to do so that you could have all of him in you? Fourth way we kind of line up with this young ruler, young man, is we rely on ourselves. We rely on ourselves. I'm going to take care of me. And Jesus is saying he wants us to rely on him. He doesn't want us to rely on ourselves for everything. He wants us to trust him and rely on him. And by the way, some of you are missing this. Some of you don't have the complete joy that the Lord wants you to have only because you've decided to rely on yourself and you've backed away from this thing of trusting God. We want to trust God. Society teaches us different things. But did you notice that the young man, what happened to him after this conversation with Jesus? He walked away sad. He walked away sad. Because you see, he wasn't willing to do what was necessary to be close to Christ. His problem wasn't his wealth. His wealth didn't hinder him. The problem was it led him into a feeling of self-sufficiency, and he was dependent on himself rather than God. And that's society, and that's where we live. We try to get this attitude of being self-sufficient in all things. It's not just money that we trust in. We trust in education, or we trust in our strength, or we trust in looks, or popularity. But anybody who believes that their piety or their power qualifies them for the kingdom deceives themselves. Listen. The jewel and the joy of salvation is given to the broken spirit. The one who knows they've sinned and that they're lost without Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? The one who knows that without Christ, they're lost. The one that has found Christ is not just a silent part-time partner, but he's a full-time partner who speaks into our life every moment of every day. The one who has reached their hand up to touch the nail-scarred hand of Jesus. These are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. We've talked about storms, and we've talked about being in the storms of life, and we've talked about what all of that means. And sometimes when we're in that low point and when the storms are going on, we forget that God can bring us through it. And it's that broken spirit that brings us to the point where we reach our hand up to God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. How great is our reward, folks. We place our treasure in heaven and there's reward there. We find eternal joy. We find earthly joy that surpasses understanding. And folks, we have a home in God's kingdom. Let me ask you today, how is your spirit? Does it feel destroyed? Does it feel like it's been tromped on and beat down? Are you tired of the struggles in this life? Do you feel like maybe you've been kicked around enough in life? I want you to know today can start a new life for you. It really can. You just simply unburden yourself. Whatever it is that you need to surrender to God, you do that today. You admit your sin. You admit your weakness and embrace what God has for you. And one of the biggest things to admit is that, God, you are greater than I am. I can't handle this. I can't control this. The situation is way beyond anything that I can do. God, I give it to you and I trust it to you. It's yours. Renew my spirit. You're tired. And you've tried to do life your way and you failed. Well, folks, why don't you try it God's way? I guarantee it's not going to hurt you any more than what you already hurt. I guarantee you're not going to feel any lower than what you may already feel. Because God is just standing there waiting for you so that he can bless you. That's our prayer this morning. Would you bow your heads, please? This morning, as we close in prayer, as we wrap up today, I'm just going to lay it out there. It's real simple. You walked up the mountain with me this morning, and we sat down, and we listened to Jesus. We listened to Jesus as he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And so today, what is it that you've held back? What are you missing? Where's that emptiness inside of you that says, "I need you, Lord. I need you. Because I want the blessings that only come from you." This morning as I pray, won't you pray? Won't you just give whatever you need to God and let him lift your spirit? You know, we have options and we have choices, and we can go around life all upset and all been out of shape and all unhappy and all just disheartened because of the problems of life. But we have a God that says, no. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. How can I tell who has released it and who hasn't? I can look at their face. And those who are holding on to their struggles, you can see it. But those who have been stripped away and are poor in spirit, and they've given it to God, you can see that too. So today you can own it and keep it and walk away from here with whatever it is inside that keeps you empty, or you can be filled with the joy that comes from Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for brokenness. I thank you, Father, for those times that we have to get on our knees and we have to admit to you that we are broken. We have to admit to you that our spirit is shot, that we're tired of the battle and we're tired of fighting, and life has kicked us around more than we want it to, and we want to just give everything to you so that you can take care of it. We're poor in spirit, Lord, because we failed to let go of those things that we need to let go of. But we come this morning and we lift our hearts, we lift our minds up to you, so that we might once again feel the joy you have for us, and that we might once again realize that there is a kingdom of heaven that is waiting for us when our time here is done. And Father, we do give all of these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.